Hopefully this works. Well, at least it isn't raining this morning, so I feel good about that. Although it did rain last night, it's going to rain tonight. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8 tells us, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, received. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." These words from Matthew are the framework for today's lessons. Divine Science teaches that we do not need to go and ask God for anything unless it is that we want guidance, that we want for him to teach us how to get back to his kingdom. We sometimes make the mistake that this attitude is for the ego's belief that we are better than others, and in some cases that we are not as good. There is no difference between sinners and saints, tall and short, handsome and not so handsome, rich and poor, and of course, young and old. No difference whatsoever. At the age of 12, Jesus was speaking about spiritual things in ways that surprised the spiritual men of his time. These were the elders who were supposed to be wise. Yet Jesus had an understanding that could only come direct from God. We are no different than Jesus. The ascension to God's glorious kingdom in heaven that he demonstrated, we too will accomplish. We long for the conscious awareness of God in our existence. Many seek peace, love, wisdom, abundance, and joy. But we continue to seek our good in all the wrong places. We have been led to believe that our good comes from people, from luck, from places, and hard work. We are so focused on the external that we search and search only to find that we are lost, or at least dissatisfied with our life. Intuitively, we know already we have it, but have forgotten that it is in stillness of mind and heart that God shows us the way and reveals the truth of our being. When we listen to people around us, it appears that we all have different goals and purposes in life. In reality, we all have but one purpose, to know true self, and in knowing ourselves, we know God. All searches, regardless of how noble they are, a career, family, relationships, and learning, are a desire for a better life. But searching is really for our soul to return to the Father's house. For the still small voice tells us over and over again, "Turn to me, and I will turn to you. I will deliver you to life everlasting with all of its glories." In Matthew, we're told to ask, and it shall be given. But the asking is not asking for things. We know this because we ask for many things and probably have gotten very little. In fact, we have received but didn't have to ask. Here's what I know from experience. When we ask, not with our heads, but with our hearts, for God to show the way, give us guidance, and light the path, the answers are revealed through as many avenues as we can imagine. When our asking is sincere, not to be helped with some position or problem or thing that we want, but the asking is for the sole purpose to know God, or to know how to find our way, the answers come flowing very quickly. And they do, for God lives and abides within us. He is our own being. That is the beauty of our reality. And by the way, when I say our, I mean everybody on earth. Now, we know there are many ways to seek, but we must be clear what it is we are seeking for. Sometimes we have a desire for something, and we seek it with every ounce of our being. And then when we get it, we ask ourselves, did I really want this? Really? Why do we ask ourselves that? Because not when we get it, we realize, I don't really want that. And we don't want it because it didn't come from God. It came from seeking out here in the human experience. As human beings, for the most part, we follow the road that we're told we should travel. For we have plenty of evidence from personal experience and others' experiences what happens when we don't. Depending on where we are in accepting and practicing God's principles for our spiritual unfoldment, we may either experience God in action or we may feel frustration because we do not see results and instead continue to experience the ups and downs and changes associated with the laws and beliefs of mankind. So first, let us understand that we are not here to get things or to be the best at anything, particularly things that we are here to at any particular thing, but we are here to know our Father, to know ourselves, and to know the truth of all, not just ourselves, but of all. So first, let us understand that we have individual free will. So we get to choose the road that we're going to take. No one can force us in any particular path. God's will for us is very simple, to express our divine qualities. He will not make us do something or get more stuff in our lives. No, for God can't make us do anything. You see, you and I were created in a finished kingdom. God sees us as we truly are, perfect spiritual beings, not as human beings, for God knows nothing of the human existence. Remember that the human existence is a temporary condition of consciousness. Too often I hear people say, particularly in difficult situations, that it was God's will. God's will for us all is that we know eternal life. Love, peace, joy, wisdom, abundance, happiness. His love is unconditional and lives in infinity. Secondly, living from a consciousness of God's presence happens here in our daily living, right here on earth. Many religions teach that we will know God when we die. This is not true. God is to be known and experienced right here, for his presence is realized within individual consciousness. We are released from the human belief that we are the Son of Man, and we then experience our birthright, a child of God. This is what we are seeking, to know and experience God our Father, right here where we are. Our work is not to be a good person. Mind you, I'm not saying be a bad person. We should be good people. However, that is not what we were created for. We are created so that we could live out here in the world, and we can then be the instrument for the Father to express and manifest through us. Our work is to turn to God in silent prayer over and over again until our consciousness is transformed and God's word is revealed in us and we have the awareness that the Father and I are one. The Bible told us, "Choose ye this day who ye will serve." The question is, how do we make this choice? There are challenges and temptations which we all face on this path. One of these is to accept the human condition as reality. Every day, we get up and face the world according to where we are in consciousness. Divine scientist Urban Gregg told us, the scriptures both Old and New Testaments tell us in many ways that prosperity or supply has its origins in God, divine mind, our Creator's infinite consciousness. If God is with us and we live and move and have our being in Him, we also live in this very consciousness. Paul told us that we are partakers of the divine nature. Yet, it appears that poverty, suffering, disease, death, and lack are rampant throughout the world. If we study Jesus' experiences a bit closer, we find that he faced temptations on a daily basis. But Jesus didn't give in to temptations. Instead, he turned to God, knowing God was the one being, one power, who is all in all, where evil, illness, or discord of any kind, including death, does not exist. To seek and find, knock, and it will be opened, means to stop looking externally for our good. If we continue to put all of our coins in the human being basket, we will face disappointments over and over again. The Bible tells us that God is life, and if He is life, that means He is eternal and infinite. God is the strength of our soul and the power of our being. But until our soul recognizes this truth, we will wander and wander from here to there and back and still feel lost. Because the truth is, we don't belong in the human experience. We belong in the God experience. To know true prosperity means to awaken from the dream that we are separate and apart from God. We are perfect. Whether we live from this perfection or not, we are perfect. Part of our problem is that we don't understand the law of cause and effect. We can't hold beliefs that are contrary to God and expect an experience different from that thinking. The law of cause and effect applies not only to the physical realm, but also to the mental realm. That which we believe with our hearts, whether we think they are good or bad, we are destined to experience. You've heard me talk before about the movie The Blind Side, which is a true story about a homeless African-American teenager, Michael, who was taken in by a well-to-do conservative Southern family. Michael overcomes many adversities. He becomes a star athlete in high school and was draft picked by the NFL, and I think he's still playing for the Baltimore Ravens. Throughout the movie, I wanted to get a glimpse into this young man's mind to understand how did he end up where he did. His birth mother was a drug addict, very poor, and within all of the craziness in her life, she loved her son. When he was a little boy and bad things were going on, his mother would tell him to close his eyes until she told him to open them again. Paraphrasing what she would tell him, she used to say that the bad was behind them and it was a brighter day to go forward. I could see how Michael adopted that philosophy so that no matter what happened, he was able to let it go and keep moving forward. Had he not had this way of thinking, he never would have accepted to live with a family that was so different from him. So often, we are captured or paralyzed by fear or so-called evil. Evil does not exist. Never has and never will. What does exist is our inability to see God in action. Instead, we live our lives in fear because we buy into the appearance that there is a power that can control or hurt us, get in our way, and bring disasters. We have the power of choice. We can choose what we will accept as true in our heart and in our mind. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." We are destined to experience and be that which we accept in our feeling nature, the heart. As you are aware, thoughts come and go through our head. Some we keep, others we discard. But that which we accept from our heart becomes the road that we take. It is easier to let go of thoughts that enter our head, but that which we feel with our heart takes a strong hold of our belief system, and it is very difficult, while not impossible, to change. In the book, The Hidden Mystery of the Bible, it says, since he, man, can choose the kind of thoughts that will produce undesirable effects in his life, he is then free to part company with his creator and the perfect plan provided for him. Even God cannot assure us that he will have desirable effects if we choose to go it on our own. God cannot compel man to enjoy the bliss he could enjoy were he to keep his thoughts God-centered. There are people who believe that it is God's will that we should experience lack, or that it is a sin to have abundance and or prosperity. This is wrong thinking. You will never find in the Bible that God does not want us to have his riches. But first, we must have right thinking. You see, God created a finished kingdom. This kingdom is already yours and mine and everybody else's. Right thinking is when we have spiritual understanding that God lives in all and is in all. No one is outside of God, for God fills heaven and earth. It makes no difference who we think we are or what we think we have done. When we turn to God, all of our so-called sins turn white as snow and melt away. For God in his presence, there is no sin or wrongdoing of any kind. Let's stop believing we can hurt God, offend him, make him angry, or change him in any way. If we could, he wouldn't be God. God to be God has to be changeless, otherwise he isn't eternal. We can't change God no matter what we do. We can only change ourselves from sowing to the flesh to sowing to spirit, divine spirit. What has changed is our behavior and outlook, but not our reality. We can't change the fact, the truth that we are spiritual. It doesn't matter what we experience, think, or feel. We are of God and have always been of God and will always be of God. Goldsmith says, supply is spirit and it is within you. It is never visible, and it will never become visible. It is invisible to human eyes. It is never felt with human fingers. Supply is infinite, and it is omnipresent wherever you might be. The only thing we can do is to delay our conscious awareness of God's kingdom. God's prosperity, supply, love, peace, abundance, and power are always seeking to express through us. So let us not delay and no longer. Instead, let us seek a relationship with God. And in so doing, we find ourselves in the midst of love and prosperity. As one of my favorite authors says, the heavenly union of ye in me and I in you can never be broken or altered. This is one union that is above time and circumstance, above earth and death. Christ is always within us, as the vine is in the branch. And my sheep shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them from my hand. Christ is the eternal remedy, the love and support for all problems to melt away. We have a choice. We can continue to accept the appearances of this world as real and face the ever-changing nature that it is and its consequences. In the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ, section 16, chapter 94, it says, prayer is a deep communion with God, but when you pray, go to the closet of your soul, close all the doors, and in the holy silence, pray. Prayer is the time to shut out the outside world and turn within to the indwelling Christ and listen. It is in prayer and silent meditation where we meet God and surrender to His will. We must turn to the Father for personal communion several times a day, every day. Let us be grateful and give thanks for the Father's blessings and for the Father's presence around us and within us. It is important to pray without ceasing, to live the truth we know, to see the Father in all we do and all whom we meet, for the Father will do His works through us. We must be still, for the indwelling Christ within will show the way. We must seek not our understanding, but God's divine wisdom. Let our mantra be to practice the presence of God day in and day out. Let us make God the priority in our life, for it is His life. For in our spiritual unfoldment, we can hear God say, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I, in the midst of thee, am mighty. In the midst of Moses, made the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In the midst of Jesus, multiplied the loaves and fishes and healed the multitudes. With divine spirit, I can do all things through Christ. The Christ within strengthens me. I stand before you to do your will and your will only. For your eternal love and wisdom, O most gracious Father, we give you thanks. Can we put this lesson to practice? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes, relax your bodies, let go of all that has been consuming your mind and your heart. Focus within. Let us turn within and knock at the door of the silence with our stillness and quietness. Let us turn within to the Christ. Leave all of our thoughts and beliefs and follow the light that shines the way to God's kingdom. Divine Spirit is the cause of perfect life, yours and mine. Let us turn within to the divine intelligence who will lead us to the awareness and recognition of His kingdom. Our mind can imprison us or set us free, for when we live from God's mind, His truth will give us the freedom to know His heaven, His kingdom. Let us be still. Let us seek the Christ mind so that we may know and experience God's glory and love, and we may know our true self, a child of God. And so it is. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines His face upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you His kingdom. Amen.